Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk, and this is Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG. We're online at kpcg.fm, and we have a live link at thetrumpet.com. If you missed any past programs, you can go back and find those at kpcg.fm and at thetrumpet.com. Any place that you like to get podcasts, you can find Live by Every Word there, and that goes for all of the programs that are here on Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG. Today, let's look at a topic that is very intriguing to many people and very important. It has to do with salvation. Have you ever wondered or asked, or has anyone ever asked you, what is the unpardonable sin? What is the unpardonable sin? Over the history of mankind, there have been some horrific acts committed. At what point does something become an unpardonable sin? Well, to look at this topic today, let's begin by accepting the biblical truth that everybody has sinned, with the exception of Jesus Christ. He was perfect. He lived a perfect life, and he used God's Spirit to do that. But every other human being has sinned. Now, the majority of humanity today is neither lost nor saved. We talked about that in a recent program. Is today the only day of salvation? Well, it's not. It is a day of salvation for God's first fruits. But the majority of humanity is neither lost nor saved. They simply haven't been called yet. But every human, again, except for Christ, has sinned. You can see that in Romans 3 and verse 23. And earned the penalty of death. That's what sin brings. Let's notice that in Romans 6 and verse 23. If you have a Bible, please get it out. We can look at these scriptures together. Romans 6 and verse 23. It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So you understand wages, of course. We all have jobs at times when we get paid. And so if we put in a certain amount of hours, we get paid for that time. That's what we've earned. That's the wage. Well, what we've earned for sin is death. That's what we've earned. Now, sometimes it's easy to get selfish and think, well, you know, I'm not getting what I deserve. You know, I deserve more. But the truth is, what we all deserve, when you really get down to it, what we've really earned by our thoughts and actions is death. That's what we've earned. That's what mankind has earned, every individual human being, with the exception of Christ. We've sinned, and so that's what we've earned. That's fair. That's what would be fair. But thankfully, God is merciful, and he gives us a chance to repent and to change because of Christ's sacrifice for us. But that's what we've earned. Notice this in Romans 5, verses 8 through 10. It says, "But God commends his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." Christ's death, his shed blood, it pays the penalty for sins that we repent of. It pays that penalty. But as we move forward, how are we saved? Well, Christ living in us through the power of God's Holy Spirit, producing fruits of God's Spirit, helping us to grow and to develop. We need Christ living in us. He is a living Savior. And there's a great book at thetrumpet.com. It's new. It's on the book of Hebrews. And it talks about what Christ is doing today. And so if you don't have that, please get it. It's free, and it's at thetrumpet.com. Notice this quote here from the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. Free correspondence course. It's free at thetrumpet.com. Please sign up for it if you have not already. It says, "No one can come to God except through Jesus Christ. No one can have the death penalty he has incurred paid in any other way. But neither can anyone receive the benefit of Christ's payment unless he has an opportunity to accept it. No one can build God's character without his Spirit. And that Spirit is given only after repentance, belief, and baptism. And God will not give immortality to anyone who has not already proven he or she will live God's way. So once God calls somebody in this life, then the rest of their life has to be used to prove that they will live God's way. That's what God's looking to determine. Will we live God's way, or do we go Satan's way? What we're doing in this life right now is very important, especially when somebody is called, because then God has to determine what we're going to do. How are we going to live? Will we go God's way, or will we go Satan's way? That's what God is looking to see. Now, most, again, have not been given the opportunity to understand God's truth and repent and begin training for God's kingdom. But they will have that opportunity according to God's timing. God will give everybody a chance. It just depends on when they're called. But when people are called, it is possible that they can lose their salvation. It can happen. God gives everybody an opportunity, but that opportunity can be squandered. How? How would that happen? Well, let's look and see what the Bible says about the unpardonable sin. Let's look at Hebrews 10, verses 26 through 29. It says, "For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth." So again, this is talking about people that have been called and their minds have been opened. "If we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins." So when we sin, we need Christ's sacrifice to cover that. We need forgiveness. But there is a point where there is no more sacrifice for sins. As it says in verse 26, "If we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth." Verse 27 says, "But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose you, shall he be thought worthy, who has trodden underfoot the Son of God, and has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace." So again, in ancient Israel, if the law was broken and a law that would incur the death penalty, then people were killed. That's what happened. But as it says here in verse 29, how much sorer of a punishment, suppose you, shall he be thought worthy who has trodden underfoot the Son of God, takes the sacrifice of Christ and rejects it. After God calls a person and opens their mind to his truth, they will lose their salvation if they sin willfully. Let's notice what this means. Again, from the correspondence course. And this is really important to pay attention to, this difference that's talked about here. It says there is a big difference between sinning willingly and willfully. Adam sinned willingly, but that does not mean he is condemned to perish in the lake of fire because of it. There are only a comparative few who have sinned willfully, and they are condemned to the lake of fire. And that, of course, is eternal death. It says God will forgive any sin that is repented of, even if through weakness, temptation, or habit, the sin is repeated. As long as a person's intention, attitude, and desire is to obey God, he will repent, and God will forgive him. Jesus said we ought to forgive 70 times 7 times. You can read about that in Matthew 18, 21 through 22. It says God is even more willing to forgive than that. So what is a willful or an unforgivable sin? If a person has been given spiritual understanding of God's way, and has experienced the blessings of that way, but decides he no longer wants it, changes his attitude, deliberately chooses a life of rebellion, despising God's law, then this sin is unforgivable because he will not repent of it. God will not give eternal life to anyone who insists on living Satan's way. Such people, it says, have been specially called by God and given his Spirit, yet at some point in time they purposely, knowingly rejected it. See, there's a difference here between people that are deceived and they don't know God's truth and they've never had their minds opened. You know, that God's not judging them eternally yet because they haven't had a chance. They'll still reap the fruit of their doings. I mean, if they do things that are bad, they're going to have bad results. That's just the law. But in terms of eternal judgment, they haven't been called yet. This is different. This is talking about people that, as it says, have been called, given God's Spirit, and then at some point in the journey, they knowingly, purposely rejected. Say, no, nope. I know that's God's law, that's his way, and I know that that's the truth, but I want to go a different direction. Right? There's a danger there. Now, God has to be the judge of that. He knows exactly, you know, where the heart is on those things. Man wouldn't know that. But still, there is a point where a person will not repent, and therefore they cannot be forgiven. The quote continues and says, either by deliberate choice, so there's some people that deliberately choose, or continual neglect of prayer and Bible study. You know, a person can quench the Holy Spirit by just not using it. Just don't use it. Never do anything with it. You know, remember the parable of the pounds? The person that got the 1 pound didn't do anything with it. Didn't necessarily, you know, throw it away, but just didn't do anything with it. Well, they lose their salvation because they didn't use it. The quote continues and says, they stopped allowing God to build his character in them. Like the servant who did nothing with his pound or talent, as we just mentioned, they failed in God's purpose for them. They had become so calloused to their sins that they, no matter what God could do to try to correct them, will never want to repent. So, again, you know, if a person just continues on and on and on in the same sins and never conquers them, never grows, well, they become callous to it. And they can't repent at a certain point. That would be unpardonable. If a person will not repent, God cannot forgive them. And everyone, again, sins. Everyone does make mistakes. But we don't want to become so hardened that we can't admit that we're wrong and then work to change. You know, we have to be repentant and say, you know, that's wrong. I need to change this and work to change it. God will work with a person like that. But if someone becomes so calloused and so hardened that they just won't repent, then God cannot forgive them because he can't forgive somebody who won't repent. Now, God is, of course, the master potter, right? The Bible talks about that. We're the clay. God's the master potter, but he can't mold clay that has become so hardened that it won't be shaped. What happens? It would simply shatter. It can't be worked with. And so we don't want to become so hardened that God can't correct us. And that becomes unpardonable because we won't repent of it. So that's one way that the unpardonable sin can be committed, to where a person just simply won't repent. They become too hard. They reject God's truth. They know it and they say, no, I'm not going to change. Or they just simply don't change. You know, maybe they say all the right things. Maybe they say, oh yeah, I should change that, but they never do. Well, at some point, God can't work with that. Notice another sin that will not be forgiven by God. This is in Mark 3, verses 28 through 29. Christ speaking here, he says, verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Spirit has never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. So that's Christ speaking there. How does a person blaspheme against the Holy Spirit? Well, let's go on and see what the Bible says. And again, I mean, we could come up with all kinds of ideas about it, but let's see what the Bible says about this. Matthew 12, verses 22 through 24. And this is, again, talking about Christ and his interaction here. It says, "Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spoke and saw." So quite a miracle here, and people were really drawn to these miracles, of course. But verse 23 says, "All the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David?" So the people were thrilled, as you would expect. And now, but the religious leaders of the time, they were jealous and they didn't like this. They didn't like Christ getting a following. So notice verse 24, it says, "But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils." So they said, well, he's doing it by Satan's power, not God's power. Well, now that's a dangerous, dangerous thing to say. The Correspondence Course says, "To intentionally, knowingly speak abusively," and the meaning of the Greek word translated blasphemy, that's abusively, "against the Holy Spirit by attributing works of God's Spirit to the devil is to deliberately reject the only power by which one can be converted and given salvation." Right? There's no other way that God can convert us and can give us salvation other than by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so if a person is saying, well, the works of the Spirit are the works of Satan, they're in a really dangerous position. And we're talking about people who understand the truth now. And these Pharisees understood. They knew enough, and yet they still falsely accused the work of the Holy Spirit as being of the work of the devil. It says, "If one knows a work has been done by the power of the Holy Spirit, yet falsely claims that it was done by the devil's power, it is a deliberate, premeditated, willful rejection of God and his power. Those who would do this have also rejected God's way and will not repent." They won't repent. They knew, see, they knew that it was God's power that was doing this. They understood that. And yet, they say, well, no, that's the power of Satan. It was intentional. It was willful. They knew what they were saying was wrong, and they didn't care. They were trying to deceive the people. And so what a terrible, terrible position that they were in. What a terrible attitude and a mindset. And we don't want to be in anything like that in terms of our thinking. So you might ask, well, are people in danger of committing the unpardonable sin today? Well, sure, there are some that definitely are. And of course, anyone that God has called has a responsibility to continue to grow and to develop the character of God and use the power of God's Spirit to do that and constantly be molded and shaped by God and be willing to change, be willing to repent and work at that. God will work with somebody like that. But there are people that are rejecting what God's trying to do in their lives and finding themselves in a very dangerous position. There's a book at thetrumpet.com, and it's about Obadiah. That's the name of the book, Obadiah, the most terrifying message in the Bible. And it talks about some biblical personalities, but there's a duality to it. There's a type in our time today. And here's a quote from that book. It says, "Esau was Jacob's twin brother and was firstborn." So Obadiah here is talking about Esau a little bit. And if you know much about Esau, you know that he sold his birthright, didn't he, for a bowl of soup. Mr. Fleury, the author of this booklet on Obadiah, he says, "God's first fruits have been called out of this world. Now they have a birthright to be the bride of Christ." So, you know, those that are called today do have this incredible birthright. He writes, "But like Esau, many of God's people are selling their birthright for a bowl of soup." And he says 50% of God's people today are going to lose their salvation. You can read that in Matthew 25:1-13. He writes, "The book of Obadiah is specifically about that lost 50%. It is a rebuke of mind-splitting magnitude." And so we have to understand that, look, there is a time when people do just totally reject God, even when they they know him. There are some that do that. They do commit the unpardonable sin. And so we all have to be very careful to not get into this mindset, to get into this position where we reject God and turn and actually fight against God, as these Edomite Laodiceans, as they're called, are doing. They actually turn and fight against God. And we just read about that example that Christ faced himself personally. You know, in Matthew 12, verses 24, when they said, the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. So there are people today that do see the work of God. They do understand that it's being done by God's Spirit, and they turn and they fight against it. They actually fight against it and try to suppress it and try to destroy it. And that's happened. That's happened in our time. And to understand more about all that happened there, you need to read Malachi's message, Raising the Ruins, and then also Mystery of the Ages. That all ties together if you understand what happened to God's work in this time that we live in today, in this Laodicean era. Are people in danger of committing the unpardonable sin? Absolutely. And this booklet on Obadiah talks about a specific group that are facing that catastrophic end. And so it's good to read all of this. It's at thetrumpet.com. Again, it's all free. And if you want to learn more about the unpardonable sin, again, the Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course, this particular lesson, Lesson 25, gets into detail about this. We do not want to commit the unpardonable sin, obviously. And God doesn't want anyone to. And there's no reason to. If we're willing to repent and to grow and to change and always have a workable attitude, that God is willing to work with people. So a lot to think about there, a lot to understand, and it's important that we understand what the Bible teaches about the unpardonable sin. That's all the time we have for this edition of Live by Every Word. Again, if you'd like to catch up on past episodes, you can find those at kpcg.fm, thetrumpet.com, or any place you like to find podcasts. I'm Dwight Falk. Thanks for spending some time with me. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.